From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Today on the show, as promised yesterday, David Brandt, our good friend who has been writing for the Associated Press for a while, used to cover Ole Miss for the Clarion Ledger when he was better known as Negative Slant Brandt. He is joining us today on the show talking football, little St. Louis Cardinals, and more. So we'll get to that here in a little bit. Saw a lot of pictures, talked to Ben a little while yesterday. Thanks to everybody that got involved with the You Gotta Believe football camp at Jackson Academy. Big time turnout for that. Day one, day two is today there. So again, we've been telling you about that for a few weeks. Really appreciate everyone involved. A lot of good football players involved in the construction and counseling there with that camp. When you head on over to Highway 6 West, the Oxford Exxon and the Oxford Crystal, check out the new hand-spun milkshakes, chocolate, strawberry, vanilla, Oreo, your flavors there, or the Kool-Aid slushes. They're made with Sprite, grape, green apple, your options with the slushes there as well. Ribs, lunch specials, $4.99, much more. You go to Crystal, you get the 5 for 5 mix and match, country fried steak, fried chicken now included, with those crystals as well. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900, clarkfordinc.com. Call that number, ask for Corey Clark, tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's really that simple. One of you did it just yesterday. It works. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. You get a great deal. Once you get the quote, you can shop it around if you'd like, or you can let Corey and all the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many listeners of this podcast. Let's just take the hassle out of the car buying experience. And then at the end of the deal, you can do what one of our podcast listeners did yesterday, which is tell Corey, hey, I heard about the dealership on the podcast. You can mention this one. You can mention the beer garden, either one. $500 off the bottom line at Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900.
So, get started today. Hold on. I got a little audio issue. A couple days ago, we plugged these things in. We plugged them in the wrong outlet. So when I think I'm messing with my volume, I'm actually messing with yours and vice versa. So give me 1 second. I was trying to turn you up, and I turned you down accidentally a second ago. So
some people would say that's a good thing.
It's a Friday. It's okay. We can kind of finagle around. Not a lot going on today. We've taught media days. That starts next week. Again, Ole Miss on Thursday of that, you know, low-key affair in Hoover, 4 days of polite, honest conversation, really. So
you'll hear from Jay Tate on Monday morning. I taped it last night. It was about 48, 49 minutes or somewhere in there.
That's a lot of JG.
It was really good. It was really fun. We both had poured ourselves a glass of bourbon.
Heard that.
And it went from there. Pretty fun.
Just kind of talking.
It was mostly football.
Okay.
I mean, talked about other things besides football, but it was mostly football-oriented, media-oriented. It was good.
All right, let me just get this out as a public service announcement on this Friday before we go to Davis. I mean, Davis, David. I think I know that by now. I've been friends 10 years. This logo, it's not replacing anything. The signature M... Oh, that God. Ole Miss has introduced. It is a secondary logo. It's hard to think they're going to remove the Ole Miss script when this is part of the Ole Miss script. It is literally the M removed from the script in an independent form. It was on some stuff last year. It was on some softball gear. The men's basketball team wore it on their NIT warm-ups when they went to Syracuse, for sure. Maybe all of them. I don't know. But it was.
I am not one that pays attention to that kind of thing much.
You don't notice logos on warm-ups?
No.
Okay. So it's not replacing anything. It will be incorporated on uniforms on a sport-by-sport basis. I do not know which sports that's a positive with. Here's the deal. It's more options to buy things on licensed gear. period. That's where it is. Ole Miss has spent millions of dollars to brand and market that Ole Miss script as its primary logo. You do not do all those things if you have any idea that you are removing that from your licensed gear and your university.
Fans get worked up about stuff. This isn't me making fun of Ole Miss fans. I sometimes wonder if the fan, I'm being serious here. The fans who get worked up about stuff like this have other fandoms, like in Major League Baseball or the NBA or the NFL or whatever. The reason I say that is because, if let's say you're a Braves fan, okay? The Braves have a main home and a main road uniform. They have an alternate uniform. They'll bust out a Memorial Day uniform. They'll have a Mother's Day uniform. A Father's Day uniform.
They wore a 4th of July uniform.
A 4th of July uniform. This isn't me saying that the Braves and the rest of Major League Baseball don't really like moms, or don't really like dads, or don't really like their country, or don't really appreciate veterans. But there's a different reason that they wear the uniform and the hat. People buy it. If it was just about honoring moms and dads and veterans and the holiday, they wouldn't make that stuff commercially available.
I do think there's a little more rational fear there because Ole Miss has removed things from the university. Everybody, there's a segment that believes it's still going to be the sliding scale where at some point it's going to become the Mississippi Humanitarians. You know what I mean?
I do.
Ole Miss, Rebels,
but
all
to this
that
day,
stuff.
They've really not removed anything that one. The stuff that they've removed, you can make a legitimate argument that it was caustic.
It's hard to make that argument with Ole Miss.
They've, like you just said, they've invested a gazillion dollars.
And this is coming on the heels of all the contextualizing and the renaming of Vardaman Hall and all that this week. So it's all bubbling up into one conversation.
What was Vardaman Hall? I don't keep up.
You really don't.
I really don't. I cover Ole Miss athletics. I don't keep up with what happens at the institution. I really don't.
They are adding plaques and context to a lot of things that have any sort of Confederate whatever.
Gotcha.
And then they're renaming Vardaman Hall. James Vardaman was a governor and a congressman in Mississippi in the early 1900s and is at least, I'm not a historian, but the general thought he was a massive racist.
Okay.
And they are renaming the hall that is named after him on campus.
Colleges are big business. Trust me, I have one that's a junior in high school starting in August, and we're starting to look at colleges and the prices of colleges. And it's very competitive for students. And if you have stuff on campus that's going to cost you quality students, you either have to qualify it or remove it.
You can, I was about to say, as much grief and different things and as much conversation as this is taking on, and look, I've read the press releases, I've read a couple news stories on it, I've read some different things. I think this is probably kind of a middle ground measure by Vitter in the institution to keep from having to remove it. I think it's a deal where, hey, on the front end, let's add some plaques, add some context, add why this is what it is and the reasons for it as a safeguard to not remove everything from that situation, in my opinion. I think in some ways it's a pretty smart move forward to find some middle ground here and not go crazy in any direction. So
yeah, I don't know enough about it to make any more comment than that, but it is big business and you do have to be smart. And so, when you do stuff that has ties to Confederate stuff, you are dancing with, and I don't mean that, but I mean as it is, financially you're dancing with the devil.
Yeah, I mean, you never know when somebody gets offended by something. I mean,
and what that being offended will cost you. Is it going to cost you students? Is it going to cost you corporate sponsorships? What's it going to cost you? It's not a real smart idea to go offending the masses these days.
It's also not smart to completely erase history, though.
No, it's
not. I think you can go way too far on this. I mean,
who writes history, Chase?
Winners.
Who lost the Civil War?
Well, that has no relevance on.
I know, but you know what I'm saying?
But
the Confederate deal, I'm not a Civil War guy. I don't study it much. There's parts of it that it's interesting, some of the battles and such, but history has been rewritten to make the Civil War completely about slavery.
And it wasn't.
But it's been written that way. And we talk about perception and reality as it pertains to recruiting and all sorts of things all the time, and that is perception.
But that also gets back to the conversation of are you just going to side with ignorance over, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, you believe this, so let me make sure I cope completely to you because you believe that.
Well, the answer quite often to that question is yes.
Yeah.
And I can hear people yelling at me right now. I'm not saying that's the way it should be. Chase knows me pretty well by now.
Yeah.
I'm not at all saying that's the way it should be or that I feel that way or vehemently about. I don't. Be honest, I couldn't care less. But I am smart enough to look at it and go, well, that's the way it is.
I just have a hard time finding a fence in a school honoring a bunch of students that died in a war.
Of course not, because you don't walk around looking to be offended.
Yeah. It's like that.
I mean, that's like, before anybody gets mad at me, man, I can walk around a campus and not notice jack. I can sit in a car for 10 hours, get out of the car, and not be able to tell you what car I was in.
Did you see the Twitter picture that blew up so bad a couple days ago with the girl at the Braves game?
No.
This woman on Twitter, and you really ought to look at it for the responses, because the responses in the stream below this tweet were incredible and great. And she doubled down, tripled down, all the way to 100 down on it. It was her offended because she thought the Braves had put a KKK sign up at the stadium because of the strikeouts.
My God. Oh, I have one better.
And she wanted the abbreviation completely changed because of it.
Oh, dear God. So on the 4th of July, NPR, National Public Radio, not exactly a bastion of right-wing conservative thought. Agreed?
Yeah.
They tweeted the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, I did see this.
Tweeted the Declaration of Independence. Now, as you know, if you tweet or if you are on the Twitter machine, you know that you're limited to 140 characters.
So it takes a while.
If you've ever read the Declaration of Independence,
and it's longer than 140 characters.
There are many of you out there who haven't, I suspect, and you should. We don't teach this in America's schools. We don't. They don't read it. They don't read the Constitution. They don't read the Declaration of Independence. We gloss over this in America's public schools. We just do. Anyway, to prove this, NPR tweeted out the Declaration of Independence, and the responses are gold. You should go find the thread. It is worth the comedic value alone to read the people that are offended, angrily offended at NPR's Twitter machine on their verbatim quote, including the old grammar and old spellings and such of the Declaration of Independence.
Well, a lot of them believed that it was, yes, that it was them being political, putting out these thoughts. So it's amazing.
They tweeted verbatim.
What was funny was yesterday one of the employees of NPR, I didn't know the guy, he goes, hey, just in case we tweet the Gettysburg Address, there is no war in Pennsylvania. We are not reporting a war in Pennsylvania. Just heads up here.
It's remarkable how people are offended by stuff. People can be offended. They'll be offended by anything. The Declaration of Independence, it's really a document that everyone should read to understand what it was all about. But that requires understanding that there was some conflict. And then we want to judge, well, what was Jefferson really like? We're unwilling to contextualize anything.
Well, yes.
Thomas Jefferson didn't live in 2017. It's not the era that he lived in. Things were different then.
All right.
So my point is I don't walk around looking for things to be to offend me. I guess that's white privilege. Is that what I'm going to be labeled with?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have the time for it, honestly. But if I'm Ole Miss, I think the M looks pretty cool. It's another hat to sell. I mean, how many hats can one own that say the words Ole Miss on them before you're looking for a different hat? How many T-shirts can one buy that has the Ole Miss script on it before they go, hey, I've got enough of those T-shirts? Well, you'd like to keep selling more T-shirts. So you sell the T-shirt with the M on it. Makes sense. But if you drive around that campus, the university is marketing the words Ole Miss all over it. They're not giving that. That's not going away anytime remotely soon.
I was putting it out. I got a copy of Lindsey Miller's brief yesterday that was submitted.
Lindsey Miller Esquire? Back at it again?
But, you know, he had to use Matthew Wilson again. He did not submit his own legal document. I don't know there.
That's too bad.
Anyway, with that, sorry. I was got a little preoccupied for a second.
I would like Lindsey Miller Esquire to show back up again, and I think he should be granted quite a bit of lenience in the court.
Do you?
Oh, absolutely. So that when the other side objects, the judge could say, overruled, comedic value. Overruled, continue, Mr.
Just constant comedic value.
Yes. Continue, Mr. Miller.
Okay. So, real quick on that. There's no reason to spend a lot of time on this. Lindsey Miller filed basically a dismissal claim asking that he be thrown out of this lawsuit. It's not in every case like this, but it was going to happen in this case. It is a very basic legal thing that you're kicking the can down the road. I think somebody on the board as an attorney said you're just lobbing the ball back over the net for a little while. Yes. You were just playing defense and extending this thing. It's where I really kind of have a problem. It's more in the way it was inferred, the way it was implied, however you want to phrase that. Pete Thamel puts it out yesterday.
Pete Thamel
puts it out. I don't know Pete. I have really no opinion. And he said nothing inaccurate, but acting and not putting context on it as a very basic legal maneuver is kind of disingenuous. Acting like it's a major filing in the case is stupid.
I know this is what I'm about to say is going to shock you.
Yeah.
There are a handful of college football writers who this does not qualify for. George Schroeder, Andy Staples. Congratulations to our friend Barrett Salee. Landed not only on his feet, but landed at probably a bigger gig. Good things happen to good people sometimes, I guess. But a lot of college football national writers are not the brightest bulbs in the bank.
Or don't want to put it out that it's not a big deal.
That's just as stupid. Intentionally not contextualizing something is every bit as bad as not contextualizing it. But they have agendas. I hate to break it to you. Some of those people. They want this case to be something that... I don't know what this case is going... I don't know how it's going to impact Ole Miss in October because we're running out of time. This case has all of the makings right now of being, it has the makings of being the poster child for the Power Five breaking away.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's got a chance to be a landmark case because there's been some things from a administrative standpoint with the NCAA that should not be tolerable.
But anyway, basically, here's the deal. It's just extending the process. It's expected. Merkel, I'm sure, knew it was coming. It is what it is.
Merkel most certainly knew it was coming.
They are putting that they're trying to extend the time before depositions or discovery happen, and maybe you catch a one in a million flyer where they actually dismiss the stupid. They're not stupid thing, but dismiss on this stupid premise.
Yes, but this everyone knew involved in this that the can would get kicked down the road. And here's a kick, probably for about, what, a month and a half, 2 months?
Yeah, that's fair.
So, you know, it's July. This is why I keep telling people when you're like, this case. I'm like, yeah, but man, I'm telling you, I'm not convinced this case is going to impact what happens on the COI because I don't think it's going to be heard by then. The COI hearing's coming up as early as next month.
Yeah.
Probably September. What's today, July the 7th?
It is.
6 weeks from now is the end of August.
Yeah.
So. I mean, the football season starts in 8 weeks, for God's sake.
Yeah, camp's in less than a month.
I mean, we're running out of time.
So.
I mean, the guy came at us on the message board yesterday with, y'all keep minimizing this. No, we're not minimizing it. We're the ones giving it some damn context. I think it's a serious thing. I think Rebel Rags has a really strong case. I think there's a real decent chance that it's going to be exposed that some of Leo Lewis's and Kobe Jones's testimony was coached, was coerced. They were told what to say. I think that's a real possibility, that they are going to be proven to be absolutely lying about it. I'm not convinced in any shape, form, or fashion that that's going to happen before the meeting in front of the Committee on Infractions, and therefore I'm not convinced in any way that it's going to have any impact, mitigating or otherwise, on the ultimate sanctions that Ole Miss has hit with this fall.
Yeah.
That's not being negative.
No, it's being realistic. So we will move on now to David Bryant. Before we do that, podcast brought to you in part by Right Way Meds, located in Holly Springs. Let them deliver your medicine to your door. Just check them out at rightwaymeds.com. And when you do that, you'll see that it comes in strip packets where you tear off the first dose of the day, next dose ready when you are. They manage your medication. They help save lives. And again, they make it convenient. No more trips to the pharmacy as they deliver to you. So check them out, rightwaymeds.com. If you're a doctor or medical provider, they can help with your compliance numbers.
Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Journey Business Solutions has a monster product for doctors, dentists, and veterinarians, or anyone currently using care credit. Journey Business Solutions no interest financing has a cheaper cost to the practice, rate starting at just 12.9% if the customer goes past the no interest period. Care credit, meanwhile, has a whopping 26.99% rate. Journey Business Solutions approves more patients as they go down to subprime credit, while care credit only works with prime credit. Journey Business Solutions also does a soft pull on the patient to see if they qualify, so they can see if they are approved and see their terms before they decide to move forward with no harm to their credit. Journey Business Solutions also has 12-second approvals and a completely paperless application process, which the patient can complete on their smartphone or through a link that they can place on their website. If you mention the podcast, Journey Business Solutions will set up the program for you with absolutely no cost up front, no monthly cost, and no contract. Try Journey Business Solutions for 90 days. If you aren't 100% totally blown away, go back to using care credit. You won't. Email Ben at benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. He can schedule a demo walkthrough right away, and he'll get you started right away with everything that you need from Journey Biz Solutions. Registration for Oxford Park Commission, today's the last day. It's going on through today, costs $55 a child. It's a multi-child discount available, age range 4 to 16, classified via year of birth. This year's season will begin in late August, run through October. Schedules will be posted 2 weeks before the season starts. Games played at FNC Park. To learn more, go to oxfordparkcommission.com.
Now let's go to David Brandt on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline.
All right, David, thanks for joining us. For full disclosure, I always like doing this because you never know when something's going to happen in the next 36 hours. We're taping this on a Wednesday night. I am watching the Marlins and the Cardinals on the television here in the Clark Ford Studios. It's 7-1 Fish right now. We'll get to the NL Central in a minute because I have a suspicion that you're starting to be as concerned about the Brewers as I am. We'll get to that in a minute, but so we're taping this on Wednesday night. It's going to run on Friday morning. It's our final SEC Media Days preview, which really is lazy journalism, but it is what it is. You like Media Days?
Yes, but maybe not for reasons that other, you know, fans would like it. I like it because, honestly, it's like the SEC Writers Convention, so you get to see a lot of your friends. You get to hang out, you know. Go get dinner, you know, a couple drinks, have a good time. So that's why I like it. But, you know, it's interesting to get football started and all that stuff. But it's kind of one of those things, the first day you're like, all right, we're getting started. And then by the fourth day, it feels you're just dragging out of there. So, you know, it's not a lot of big news comes out of there usually. Sometimes it does, but it can be a little cumbersome sometimes. But it's fun.
Do you go to OnTap? Is that your place?
Yeah, it has. That's one of the places. And I've never understood, you know, they always, every year they seem surprised that like 400 sports writers show up on that week. And they're like, what do we do? And it's like, this has been the same thing that's happened every single year for like 15 years. But yes, that is probably our main spot.
What is your tap of choice?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. I've been kind of on. I'm not like a super adventure, some beer drinker. Blue Moon is fine with me. I'm a big Abita fan, so I'll rotate between some of the things they have. Andy Gator, I like that, stuff like that. So I'm not super adventurous.
I've kind of gotten into pale ales and IPAs a lot lately for whatever reason. Yeah. I don't know really why. I'm screwing this up. The Bell
Bell's Oberon?
Yeah, it's good. The Bell's pale ale is terrific.
Really? Yeah. I'll have to try that.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'm not opposed to trying beer.
No, I mean, I'm for it. I mean, in this, we have this country where everybody feels like they have to take a stand. You know, I've decided I'm going to take a stand sometimes. I am pro beer tasting. I am pro beer experimenting, by God. And I don't want anyone to take that away from me. And I support everyone's right to try as many beers as one would like. It's now 7-2 Marlins as we tape this. The Cardinals rallying in the bottom of the third at Busch. All right, we'll get to baseball in a minute. I've asked people. I had Ryan Brown on yesterday talking about when Ole Miss goes on Thursday, the Hugh Freeze turn at the podium. Breland Speaks and Shea Patterson, they'll be there as well. How much of the conversation will be about the NCAA? Will anything non-NCAA even be a topic around the Ole Miss program on Thursday?
I mean, I think there will be some conversation about Shea Patterson and, you know, the young offense and some things like that. But, yeah, I mean, the big story about Ole Miss right now is the NCAA case. There's no doubt about that. Hugh Freeze is going to get a ton of questions about it. The players are going to get some questions about it. Usually the players, you know, outside of a couple, how are you dealing with it? You know, those sort of questions. They don't get a ton of it just because neither Breland or Shea is directly involved in any of the allegations or anything. So they'll get it, and they'll certainly be talking about it. But I think Hugh Freeze is the one that is going to face the brunt of it, and it's just going to be interesting to see how he responds.
The last time he got confronted with this in a public setting, I don't think he handled it well. He kind of walked away from the interview. He walked up to the interview. They asked about the NCAA. It was a pretty innocuous softball question, and it seemed to upset him. Obviously, he'll have a lot more time to prepare this time. If you're advising him on what to say on Thursday, what advice do you give?
That's a good question. I think that what's going to happen, I'm not sure if this is the advice I'd give him, but probably – is anything directly tied to the investigation as far as process and different, you know, really kind of details about, you know, maybe limited immunity, different things like that. I don't think he's going to say a lot. You know, I think that he's going to say it's an ongoing investigation. We're looking, you know, he's talked about it many times. We're looking forward to our day in front of the committee. We can't wait to get this over with. I think it's going to be a lot of that. I don't think you're going to see him. I certainly, if I were advising him, would not want him to take shots at the NCAA or anything like that or about process. I think that, you know, now's the time to maybe stand down on some of that. I do see, you know, because I think some questions are also going to come forward to him about does the fact that you have you self-imposed a one-year postseason ban and have admitted some things, you know, you came out so strongly before a few years ago and said we do everything the right way, you know, does this tarnish it? Are you essentially, I don't know if a liar is a strong word, but have you, you know, overstated how much you follow the rules? And that is what I think Freeze will respond to, and it'll be interesting to see what he does as far as kind of you know, trying to, I don't know if clear the name of the program, because that's not really possible at this point, but how he defends the program in front of a large crowd, in front of a national television audience and all that stuff. I think it's going to be a lot of that. I don't think we'll see anything totally out of the blue. I think we've seen most of the playbook about how he'll, you know, talk about that nothing was really related to the 2013 class as far as the pay for play. You know, there's some booster involvement with Laramie Tunsil, but different things. But anyway, it's going to be fascinating. I think it'll be, I'm sure, knowing Kyle Campbell, the head SID at Ole Miss, for those who don't know, and then Hugh Freeze, I'm sure they're talking about these things, and they're trying to go over every single question that they think will be asked, and I'm sure that will continue up on the plane ride right until almost the moment they get into the building. So it'll kind of be a fascinating Thursday. I also think that part of it is going to depend on what happens Tuesday with Mississippi State, because certainly Dan Mullen and their players are going to get asked some stuff too.
Okay, that was
if anything develops from that, then that could affect what happens Thursday.
That was my very next question. It's almost like you've done this before. Dan Mullen's going to go on Tuesday, and he's going to get asked about all sorts of stuff. But at some point, or at several points, someone has to ask him, right, about Leo Lewis, about Kobe Jones. He can't hide behind the "I don't know what you're talking about," because that would just be an insult to intelligence. They're going to ask him about those immunity interviews. They're going to ask him, I think, about what role he played, what role did the Mississippi State administration play in setting those interviews up, and in did you coach those players about what to say in the interview? Are you concerned about what Leo said? Because it's like I've said all along, if you believe, you being the NCAA, if you believe Leo Lewis as a witness, well, then you have to believe Leo Lewis when he says, "Hey, I took money from other schools," and he signed with Mississippi State. I mean, there is a question begging to be asked there. Do you think, A, he is asked some of those questions, and B, if he is, what do you generally think his response is?
My first, yes, I do think he will be asked some variation of the questions that you're asked. You know, how much, again, you know, what he thinks about the limited immunity process, what he, you know, like you said, if what involvement, if any, he had in whether it's coaching players or advising them what to do, and just generally what he thinks about it. I don't know how involved those questions will be, but I would be shocked if that's not part of the discussion on Tuesday. I do think that there's really almost nothing, you know, again, if I'm like coaching people on what to say, there's almost nothing Dan Mullen can say right there that's very positive, especially because he has a tendency sometimes to get, just like Hugh Freeze, you know, it's kind of a college football coach thing, of getting defensive, getting a little combative. And so if I'm Mississippi State, I'm telling them, look, we trust the NCAA, we follow their rules, policies. When they ask us to do stuff, we do it. You know what I mean? And we told them to tell the truth, and I think they're going to leave it at that. I don't think there's going to be a ton of really juicy information coming forward from Dan Mullen. I think he might, you know, again, defend his program that, you know, we don't lie, you know, we just tell the NCAA, you know, we told our kids to tell the truth. So that's what I think is going to happen on Tuesday, but I've been surprised before, and certainly Dan Mullen has been known to speak off the cuff at times, especially when he's kind of backed into a corner.
Let's take a break in the interview to tell you about MasterCuts and their new partnership with Spray South to provide customers a new service everybody's been asking for, starting immediately skeeter beaters ready to eliminate those pesky mosquitoes that prevent you from enjoying your back porch every afternoon and the 28 diseases that they carry. Skeeter beaters vows to provide the same great customer service its parent companies are built upon. The product's designed to last 3 to 5 weeks depending on the weather. They offer single application pricing starting at $60 as well as seasonal packages. They serve all of North Mississippi, so if you're in Grenada, Olive Branch, Tupelo, Amory, or anywhere else, give Skeeter Beaters a call, 662-607-7773.
The podcast also brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chaser Charters in Biloxi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. He knows where to put you on the fish that you want to catch. This time of the year, snapper and cobia are the most popular trips to take. The snapper season in Mississippi waters runs through Labor Day 2017. Another popular trip for visitors that don't have as much time is the inshore trips for speckled trout and triple tail. You can reach John through his website, tunachasacharters.com, his Facebook page, or you can call John at 228-348-7817. The podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South, owned and operated by Kyle and Jordan Thornton. 7 South Tailgating is equipped with the largest staff in the Grove that can service most any of your tailgating needs. They offer SEC only and full season packages, rental packages, or they can set up your gear wherever you want it set up on the Grove, the Circle, or on the outskirts of campus. 7 South typically sells out for every game, so visit their site today to secure your spot. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. The site is 7southtailgating.com, and you can reach them by cell at 662-321-1682. The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for our air conditioning repair. You can take my word for it. The attention to detail, the customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, ComerHeatingAndAir.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, you get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749. Now back to the show.
I know you work for the Associated Press, hypothesizing on and predicting what might happen is not exactly something you guys do a whole lot of. But I'm curious, just your gut feeling. You've been a beat writer basically on both beats. You know the people. Do you get a gut feeling as to how Ole Miss will handle what comes in the fall if it's bad? I mean, do you feel that they'll stand by Ross Bjork? They'll stand by Hugh Freeze? Do you get that sense?
You know, boy, that's hard. It all depends on if it's. Obviously, if it's a show cause, then different things will happen. I don't really think that could. It's certainly on the table, but I'd be surprised if that happened. If it's like another year bowl ban and there's like some sort of suspension for Hugh Freeze, it'll be really interesting to see. I mean, at this point, they really have kind of backed themselves into a corner. I think they, because at this point, if you fire Hugh Freeze, then you lose another whole season. You know what I mean? You've already gone so far down the line. So my initial reaction is yes. I have always said this about the situation. I think that right now, Ole Miss feels that it will make more money with Hugh Freeze than without Hugh Freeze. They think that Hugh Freeze can weather the storm, can continue to recruit and build the program up. They remember the Sugar Bowls. They see the improvements to the stadium. That's obviously not all credit to Hugh Freeze, but it's part of it. I mean, he's had a very successful run there up until the last year. And so I think at any point that Ole Miss, the higher-ups, and when I say that, you know, Jeff Vitter, everybody like that, some of the money people, if they feel that going another direction has a better probability of being successful, I think they'll do that. But I think sometimes people forget, and again, sanctions are tough, and it'll be tough to overcome. I don't know if it would be the right move to keep Hugh Freeze or not if sanctions are bad. But, you know, just because you start over, anything can happen. You can make a great hire. You can hire Ed Orgeron or Ed Orgeron's clone again. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of risk when you totally start over. And so I think that right now they feel that Hugh Freeze, as flawed as everything is right now, is better than the risk of starting over.
In Starkville, do you sense that there's concern about where this could head? Is there concern about whether Leo Lewis should play or not? I know we got immunity, but there's, you know, there's a lawsuit out there with Rebel Rags, with Terry Warren. There's people that are accusing him basically of lying. And if he lied in immunity, it's within possibility that the immunity would be stripped from him. What do you sense about how that's going to play out over the course of the next couple months?
I haven't gotten any sense that people believe that Leo Lewis should sit or something like that. I do think that there's just sort of a general unrest around Mississippi State about you just don't like the NCAA creeping around. You know what I mean? With anything to do with your program.
Yes.
I mean, whether you're, you know, I'm reminded 5 or 6 years ago about the Cam Newton stuff. I mean, Mississippi State nearly got in more trouble than Auburn. You know what I mean? And they were, you know, quote, you know, they said they were trying to just report what had happened. And so, like, anytime the NCAA is anywhere near your program doing anything besides handing you a championship trophy, you would rather not have the NCAA around for the most part. You understand what I'm saying? It's just
oh, sure.
It's just not a great situation to have them looking at things. Because rival schools, I believe, are sort of enjoying this to a degree because it's happening to Ole Miss. But I imagine there's at least a little bit of concern from everybody involved that, you know, I'd really rather the NCAA, okay, punish Ole Miss a little bit and please move along. You know what I mean? So let's not delve too deeply because, you know, every time you uncover something, something else comes up. It's college sports. It's not the cleanest enterprise in the history of the world.
Every coach I've ever covered has said, I don't want any part of the NCAA on campus. I really don't want them here. We'll do whatever it takes for them not to be here.
Right. You're cordial to them. You try to, but you want them the heck out of there as quickly as possible, whatever the situation is. It's just not, you know, again, it's just not what you want to have around. And so there, again, I do think that Mississippi State would be like, all right, let's punish Ole Miss, get this over with, no more interviews, you know, let's go. But I haven't heard anything, you know, specifically about certain players, whether they're worried about their eligibility.
On the field, what do you look for from both of these teams? You cover them in the spring. You've been around both programs. You know the personnel. What are your expectations for both Ole Miss and Mississippi State heading into 2017?
Well, in a lot of ways, they're remarkably similar. Especially at, you know, both teams have a quarterback they're really confident in and has had some success in the past. Nick Fitzgerald more than Shea, but you know Shea had some really good moments considering he was thrown into the fire and the situation he was in. So that's a great place to start for both teams. That's why I think, you know, barring an injury, I think that both teams will be competitive in the West, you know, and certainly a force to be reckoned with. I don't see either team jumping up into like a magical season type range, but I can see either team, you know, going 8 wins, 9 wins if the chips fall correctly. You know, Ole Miss, I think, for all the talk that, you know, their roster, the talent level is going to get gutted. The offense, really, I mean, that offensive line is pretty good. The receivers are still good. You know, Shea Patterson, I think, is going to be very good. I don't know if he's going to quite, people have built him up, you know, to be the next Eli Manning or whatever at the school, but I think he's going to be very good. And, you know, everything about Ole Miss depends on the defensive side of the ball, how well the secondary kind of improves, if Kadarius Webster could give them something coming back, if Breland Speaks comes back from kind of a down year, if Marquise Haynes can continue to give that production. And, of course, are their linebackers going to be better than horrid? You know what I mean? If they can just get okay production, you know, just some decent average to slightly below average SEC play, I think that unit can be much improved. So, you know, I think both schools have reason for optimism. You look at State, not quite as talented on offense across the board, except at quarterback. You know, Nick Fitzgerald was outstanding last year, but, you know, they've got some good offensive line pieces. Guys like Donald Gray, Aries Williams kind of came on at the end of last year. I think they've got some things they like over there. And then defensively, they lose some big players, you know, like the Richie Browns and different guys like that. But they've plugged. They've got some defensive on the defensive line. They've got some JUCO guys that they really like. So, I think both teams are talented. You really like to start with somebody you're confident in under center. Both of them have that. I think that each team kind of has some spots, especially on defense, that they're not exactly thrilled about at this point. But I think that both teams, again, if the chips fall well, can win 8 games or so. And if not, you know, sometimes if injuries hit them, it's more of a 4 or 5 win season. But I think that both teams feel fairly confident and have a reason to.
Is there a coach or two that you're most not excited? That's the wrong word. You're most interested in hearing from next week?
Ed Orgeron is a big one for me, you know, and I'm sure it is for you too, just because it's just a fascinating story. I mean, how many guys go 3-21 in the league, you know, over a 3-year span and then get a second chance, especially at an amazing school, you know, as far as LSU is, would you say it's a top 10 or a top 5 job?
Oh, it's potentially top 5, certainly, but it's definitely top 10 you would put them in the top 10.
Right, and that's a great, great job. And you know, and Ed Orgeron did a nice job with him, you know, down the stretch last season. But certainly, you know, and again, Ole Miss, as far as it's a tougher job than LSU, and we all know that. But obviously, like, there's a lot of expectations at LSU, and you wonder if the fact that he's kind of one of them and all that didn't cloud their judgment. And it's a really fascinating story because immediately they're going to have a lot of talent. Immediately a lot's going to be expected. And we'll see if they're there to answer the bell. And so certainly I wonder what Ed is going to be like back at SEC Media Days because not many people get that chance.
Let's take one more quick break to tell you about Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also, the leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. Ask Jason Lowe about Community Mortgage's float down option. It allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can contact him 662-234-2704 or JLowe, that's LOWE, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. Why does that matter? Well, when you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. Oxford University Bank gives you all the comfort of home and all of the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, but with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person, all without having to press 10 buttons and without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. OUB is offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield and three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. Oxford University Bank is FDIC insured. Now back to the show.
Yeah, it's still shocking to me. I mean, it's not an insult at him. I don't blame him at all for taking a job he was offered at all. I'm still stunned that he's the head coach at LSU and that they didn't do what it took to do to get Tom Herman. To this moment, it just still stuns me.
I have to admit, I am too. I mean, and again, it's not a mean-spirited jab at Ed in any way, shape, or form. Like, over the years, you know, for stories I've done on Hugh Freeze and different things like that, I've called up Ed, you know, for interviews, and he's been nothing but accommodating and terrific. And I'm, you know, genuinely, as just a human being, happy for him that he's, you know, bounced back from what I'm sure was a real personal low for him and embarrassing for him.
Sure.
And bounced back and really have a lot of success. So from a human level, I'm, you know, great for the guy. And what I do love about it is I love, just like you, good stories. I like interesting people. And Ed Orgeron is very interesting. You know, when you lose Les Miles, you're like, man, that's a real tough shoes to fill. Well, Ed fills the shoes, you know. You can't, like, it's not the exact same type of personality, but it's another big personality in the SEC. And I was kind of worried, you know, when you lose your Spurriers, you know, you lose your Les Miles. That takes something for the league. It takes a little of the fun out of it. And I think that adding somebody like Ed brings some of that fun back.
Yeah, especially when you just lost Houston Nutt not that long ago. It's just kind of hard to recover from those kind of losses.
Well, the good thing about Houston, but again, Houston Nutt was a character, though.
He was,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
He would get up there and do the aw shucks thing. I like people who play a role, you know, and everything. And you know, Houston would, you know, I like them because they make them fast. I mean, he always had a couple, like, just colloquialisms that were just great. And that's what I like about it. You know, it's the people like the Gus Malzahns that just suck the life out of SEC.
Awful.
Even Nick Saban, even though he throws out those cliches, he's just so obviously irritated to be up there. He's awesome in his own way.
You know what
I mean?
Though?
Like, in his weird Saban-ish way. But, you know, the guy's like, and also a guy that's always combative. You might see some fireworks from Kevin Sumlin this time. I mean, he doesn't mind taking a few shots up there. I'm sure he'll be raring to go.
Yeah, he'll be raring to go. The thing about Saban is I get the sense sometimes that he likes it a whole lot more than he wants you to know that he likes it.
I've noticed over the last couple of years, actually, that has changed slightly, and I agree with you. I think 5 years ago when I would watch him up there, it was truly like, let's get this over with and get out of here.
Yeah.
But I think that at some point a lot of coaches and a lot of people, because Nick Saban is smart, he's funny, he can be, you know, a lot of people that are close to him will say he could be, like, when he's not in, like, I'm Nick Saban mode, like, he can be really, you know, his kind of a dry wit that can really take people off guard. And kid. I think that, you know, sometimes because he's, how old is he now? Like upper 60s?
Yeah, he's starting to get close to 70.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, he's not going to do this forever. And it's, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's sort of the, I don't think he's ever going to get to the Spurrier level, but, you know, it's a little bit of give and take. And, you know, stop taking yourself so seriously and kind of enjoy these times because you don't know how many you have. And so I've seen that a little bit from Nick. Now I come out, he may be fire and brimstone when he comes out next week. But the last couple of years, I have noticed a slight change in him.
It's funny, and I know we're going on too long on this. It's funny with Saban when he gets irritated with the media. I always want to go, you're upset with a group of people that the overwhelming majority of them would say out loud in any public forum that you're the best that's ever been in your profession. Why are you mad at them? They, for the most part, they give you nothing but mad props.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. And, I mean, you know, I think there is a real argument for Nick Saban being the best of all time, certainly. So, you know, I think at this point, maybe it's because I think that even Nick knows he has nothing really left to prove as far as his ability as a coach. But, yeah, I mean, when he gets irritated in the back and forth, I remember, you know, the days of him and Ian Rappaport going back and forth always amused me. Now it's more Aaron Stuttles and some of those guys. But it's good stuff. And you're right. I think that as much as he gets irritated at the media, I think that, you know, the vast majority, even some guys that you would consider homers. I mean, pretty much everybody is pretty much in agreement that Nick Saban is probably the best of all time.
All right, last couple things because we're done, and I appreciate all your time. As we tape this, it's 8:30 on Wednesday night. The Cardinals are losing. Mike Matheny just took Mike Leake out. If the Cardinals don't come back and win this game, they'll be 40-44. The Cubs are 42-42. The Brewers, at this taping, are on their way to a win over Baltimore. It would put them at 47-40. Is it possible that both the Cubs and the Cardinals, the two teams that everyone thought would contend for the Central, are at home in October watching the Brewers in the playoffs?
Oh, that is hard to believe. I mean, we're still only about halfway through the season, but, you know, I still think the Cubs just have too much talent that they can't rebound and get to 87 wins and at least get a wild card. The Cardinals have, you know, they've just struggled all year. They'll have these runs where they did over the past week where they'll win four or five games and Cardinal fans get excited and then they just kind of flutter backwards and everything. And I think they're just asking, you know, what is their identity? They, you know, Stephen Piscotty, you know, Randall Grichuk came back for the Miners. It was hitting bombs all over the place, but I don't know if they're talented enough to really make a run. And, you know, because they dug themselves a little bit of a hole now, they're going to have to, you know, be like 10 games over 500 the last half. I'm just not sure they could do that. And as weird as it is, you know, because watching the Brewers, they've got a good team. They've had some nice surprises, and I think they've done a good job of making smart moves with, like, you know, picking up that A's catcher. What's that guy's last name? Steven Vogt. How do you say his last name? Vogt or whatever?
Vogt, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice pickup. And then, you know, guys like Travis Shaw, some of their young prospects like Orlando Arcia, you know, they've played well. It's come together a lot quicker than you would think. But that's you know, at some point when you're 90 games into a baseball season and you're a pretty good team, it turns out you're probably just a pretty good baseball team.
Their schedule gets really hard around July the 20th-ish.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, they're starting to pull away a little bit. I don't know. They're interesting. The Cubs play them on Thursday, so the result of that game will already be known by the time people hear that. But if the Cubs and Cardinals are going to catch them, they're going to have to start beating them head-to-head. And the Brewers hit. They're interesting. All right, last thing. I know you covered a lot of Grizzlies playoff stuff over the last few years as the AP guy in Jackson. You've seen that team. I know you like the NBA. Just kind of your feelings about watching this nucleus of the Grizzlies finally kind of break up a little bit. Zach Randolph's going to Sacramento. It looks like Tony Allen is going to end up somewhere, maybe the Clippers. It's not going to be the same grit and grind group that has sort of been the identity of that team and that city over the last several years.
Yeah, you know, it is. I'm sure it's very bittersweet for the people of Memphis, and I can't take credit for this, but, you know, Jeff Calkins wrote a good column on it, and I saw that you retweeted it, I think, or liked it or something, and I thought he encapsulated it really good. You know, Zach Randolph kind of turned that franchise from being just sort of a laughing stock afterthought, to being really well respected, and combining a personality with a city that really worked. And certainly Tony Allen was part of that, Mike Conley and everything, but Zach Randolph was the original and made that team fun, made that team interesting. And, you know, you can tell when a city really kind of falls in love with like a team and like certain players, and that really meshed well, and it was fun to watch. I mean, you know, Grizzlies games for the last 6 or 7 years have truly been an event, and have really been something to savor there. A lot of civic pride for a city that sometimes gets beat up, you know, as far as in public perception. And so, you know, from a financial and from a basketball standpoint, I get it. The team was getting older. Zach Randolph's not what he used to be. You know, in the West, it's just so ridiculously loaded right now, especially after free agency. It's just not going to happen. So there's no reason to overpay for somebody like a Zach Randolph. But still, it was a really cool run for Memphis, even though there was never a championship or anything. It was really something that helped solidify Memphis as an NBA city and really a place that can support really well professional sports. So I know it's tough for the people of Memphis.
Gordon Hayward goes to Boston. Is that enough to put them over the top in the East?
Well, I think it gives them a chance. You know what I mean? Like, they've got a legit chance to do it. And now, you know, I mean, I know the West is loaded, but I mean, if you're in the East, all you got to do is get to the finals and then you got a chance. You know what I mean? You got your shot.
Sure.
So really, the Celtics obviously have to get past the Cavs. The Cavs are really, really good. It doesn't look like LeBron is going to slow down anytime soon, but LeBron's starting to kind of get a little older. You know, might not be, I say that, and he'll probably average 40 points a game next year, but, you know, I think it puts them closer. I think it puts them closer. I think Gordon Hayward's a really good player in the prime of his career. You still kind of wonder who's that superstar, which they don't have one, is the answer to that question, but I think it was the best available option for them right now, and so I think the Celtics are going to be fun. I know on my NBA League Pass, I'll be watching them.
The Rockets,
what do you think?
I think that makes them better. I just don't know that. I don't know that they have anybody that beats LeBron in a 7-game series.
Right. That's the whole thing about the NBA. If you've got a bunch of, you know, I don't know if you're grading players like B-plus level players, do 5 B-plus players ever beat like 3 A players? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no.
Just a bunch of guys who are really, really good. Can that team ever totally flip? Like, what would be the most recent example of that? I would think something like the Pistons back in those years with like Chauncey Billups and,
yeah,
you know, Richard Hamilton, Ben Wallace, you know, Rasheed Wallace. Those were all really good players, but I don't know if there was a super duper star in the bunch. That was probably the last time that really happened.
And that was before the super team era. Now you have this super team era where you look at the Rockets, for example. They go out and they get Chris Paul, and now it's, hey, do we need to add Carmelo as well? And the Cubs, I mean, the Cubs, the Thunder, they go out and get Paul George, and everyone says, well, do you need to get Rudy Gay? Do you need to trade for Kevin Love? It's like, holy hell, man. I mean, in any other year, you would look at the Thunder or the Rockets and say, man, they've got a chance. And now you look at them and you go, well, unless the Warriors have injuries, they don't have a chance.
Right, and I'll tell you what, if the Cubs win the NBA title, I'll be really impressed.
Oh, Chris Bryant can win anything he wants to win. Just look at him. He's beautiful.
just throw him out there. Guards 1 through 5.
He just splashes those blue eyes and just splashes his smile as he fields a ground ball. And I mean, imagine what he'd do on a basketball court.
Oh, man, I'm just rushing smile through the phone.
I mean, I know. He's so handsome that there's really, I mean, it's not even about your sexuality. You just have to admit that the guy is, he's perfect.
I'm just going to let you go on this.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon. I'll see you in Birmingham next week.
All right. Take care, Neil. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
Our thanks to David Brandt for joining us on the Oxford Exxon podcast. He joined us via the Rebel Locker Room hotline, the Rebel Locker Room, the grand reopening. I believe it's either happened or is happening kind of as we speak right now. Football season right around the corner. You heard us talk about 7 South a minute ago. You can get all your tailgating with them. You can get all your gear at the Rebel Locker Room. All the colors, all the styles, for men, women, children, all the officially licensed product. It's right there at the Rebel Locker Room, West Jackson Avenue in Oxford. Ole Miss tickets available, football and men's basketball at OleMissTix.com. That's OleMissTix.com. The podcast also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair, and you can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American Standard dealer. They work on any make or model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane, 662-832-8749. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. It's right there off Interstate 55. Great deals on new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Also great lease deals. We've been telling you about those for a while. You can lease a 2017 Nissan at 1990s prices. Hard to beat that. If you're on a budget and you're driving less than 15,000 miles a year, that's an option you should explore. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com for more.
So, close with this. I wanted to get into it yesterday. You were busy with some All-Star games yesterday.
Had two yesterday, at least one, and maybe two today. So, yeah.
How many do you have to win to come back through this puppy?
I don't know. We lost the first one, left a lot of people on base. And then
had a chance?
Had multiple chances.
Just couldn't get the hit?
No. Had bases loaded, one out, chased a 3-0 pitch, popped it up.
Oh, that's not good.
No. We're 10. Our
things happen.
Our understanding of the nuance of the game is still at a fairly elementary level, which makes sense since we're in elementary school. Just had some mistakes. Little mistakes. Then we came back in the second game and dominated and probably made a pitching error.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Carson was due to start the second game. We were the visiting team. Mm-hmm. And we jumped on them for 8 first inning runs.
So you held him?
We didn't hold him. It was a mistake.
What are you doing?
Nah, it was a mistake.
You don't do that.
No. We should have pulled him before he ever threw his first pitch.
Yes.
And saved him for today.
Yes.
It was a mistake.
You should have.
Yeah.
It's really on you. I mean, pretty much.
There's a real chance that at some point today.
You were the new pitching coach of the Oxford All-Stars. Yeah, I'm looking at your shirt here.
Yeah, there's a chance that our message board's going to get lit up with fire the pitching coach, and they're going to be on to something.
Okay. All right, so speaking of Little League, that's where I want to go here. Did you see this?
I probably did not.
Okay. I'll just read it.
Okay.
With soccer's popularity soaring in the United States, the kids who kick are becoming overshadowed by the parents who throw temper tantrums. Not arguing there, are you?
No.
A simple search of soccer parents on YouTube quickly turns into soccer parents out of control. The competitive juices have extended outside the pitch, and the outbursts are taking a toll on referees in the Palmetto State. We're only retaining about 30% of our referees each year, the state referee administrator for soccer in South Carolina said. We have 16, 15-year-old kids who are being berated and, quite frankly, assaulted by the sidelines. The incidents have forced the South Carolina Youth Soccer Association to kick off a new initiative called Silent September. Okay?
Okay.
Good. All parents and visitors shall be silent during the game. No cheering, no jeering. Just enjoy your player and the game they love. Also, during this Silent September, all parents and visitors shall be on the half of the parent touchline opposite your team's bench, so you can't talk to your players or kids during the game.
It's already that way.
Okay. And a violation of this rule, there are several different steps, but if it is egregious enough, a lot of the early steps can be removed and go straight to the severe ones where the coach either tells his parent to shut up or the coach is ejected and the game is over at that point. Again, a lot of other rules here, but essentially it's not just no negative talk, no talk at all, not one word during the game.
Good luck.
Well, okay, here's my deal here. I don't hate the thought process that little league sports are stupid from a parent standpoint.
Right.
I get that completely.
Right.
But this is kind of like everything. This is kind of like when media does something stupid. This is kind of like anything in today's world where it's so PC and whatever. Just punish the idiot that did something wrong.
Right. No, you can't do that.
If you do something negative and you jeer and you do the umpire, kick that person out.
Can't single anyone out.
That's what's stupid here. So now, when little Johnny scores 8 goals on a really bad team, you can't go, no. Because asshole over there is cussing out the 15-year-old kid.
And so now little Johnny wonders why no one's cheering for me.
And a lot of people that were defending this go, well, it's the way it is in tennis. Well, it's not tennis. You're not being coached. Tennis does this at the youth level because you can't have coaches during your match, and that's a rule all the way up. I mean, that'd be a rule at Wimbledon. You can't, like, if you in tennis, you could say good job. You couldn't say stay focused, hang tough. You know what I mean? Like, you can't give anything that would be a perceived as an advantage of teaching. Go ahead.
If you tell someone to stay focused, that's going to change things.
You ask.
I know. I'm kidding.
All right.
I've already told Carson this year.
I'm
dropping him off. I'm not even going to
South Carolina goes, this is how far we're going to go now? We're going to do this?
I know.
So stupid.
You refereed. You umpired.
I did.
You got yelled at.
I did.
You okay?
I managed.
You okay, sugar? You all right?
Oh, I've had some moms real pissed.
I've had people threaten to fight me in the parking lot.
Yeah.
You okay?
Again, just kick out the guy that says something wrong.
Throw the fan out. He or she will be so embarrassed that they'll never do it again.
This is not going to work.
Of course not.
I'm not going to stay quiet.
And all the coaching that happens.
And good luck kicking the dad out that goes, good job, Johnny. That's a good look.
All that ever happens at soccer games is, and I've been to more than I want to go to, is the parents cheer, go, 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 go. Because they don't know what the hell they're watching.
Is that part of it? It's so much worse in soccer because parents have no idea the actual game.
It's probably a lot of it.
That goes both ways, though, because in baseball, because they think they're Casey Stengel,
yeah,
they yell constantly.
It is, but like I was at youth baseball games yesterday. I watched an umpire call a strike that bounced into the strike zone. Nobody got on him that much.
Well, it went across the zone, didn't it? Well,
it did cross the plate. It hit the dirt first. But
what are you complaining about?
I didn't.
Sound like you're complaining. Go ahead.
Just my point is, it's okay. It's all right. If you're going to umpire a baseball game, whether you're 15 or 50, there's going to be people that are going to question your calls. Does it make it right? Does it make it wrong? It just makes it is what it is.
My only counter to that is the umpire should at least give a little bit of a crap about learning basic rules.
Yes.
I mean, there should be some type of care put involved
in
here.
Soccer, for example, I've learned what offsides is finally. And I've watched the side people, because they don't keep up with it or they're not paying attention, missing offsides. So if I say to him, you missed that, is that me being belligerent? Not threatening anybody.
But they act like you are.
Oh, sugar bear. Pumpkin.
That's the thing. You got this fragile human, this fragile teenager, 20-year-old, whatever the age is, and they go, hey, I break down emotionally if I hear anything negative. Let me go umpire or let me go officiate. It's like, yeah. Have some self-awareness of who you are and what you can handle.
Yeah, I mean,
because you either are the timid guy who gets run over and cowers and wants to yell, or you're the antagonistic guy who you say one word and suddenly let's go pull out the brass knuckles a la Jamar Hornsby or whatever his name was back.
Would it be better if you said, sugar bear, you did a great job trying to get that call right.
Just be completely condescending.
You feeling okay, pumpkin?
Yeah.
angel. You're trying
to. I know you're chewing gum, so having to do that at the same time is very difficult. I understand that.
You're doing a fabulous job, Sugar Bear, keeping up with this ball game, even though you just missed six calls straight.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I don't know.
One little thing here. We talked to him on the podcast a couple months ago. Joe Gray, the number three overall prospect in the 2018 class from Hattiesburg.
Yeah.
You know, he was the highest at the time, the highest ranked Mississippian ever in the perfect game rankings for any level.
I remember.
He's been tied now. Jerry and Ely in the 2019 class.
I've heard of him.
From Jackson Prep. He is now ranked number three nationally for his class.
Wow.
So, two straight years, Mississippi producing a top five national prospect in baseball.
Not the best news for Ole Miss and State.
He's a two-sport athlete, really good football player, too. Not the best news.
Son.
I know a lot of people are going to go, hey, you never know. I know.
Sorry. Let me tell you. If you can be a college football player or you can be one of the first 10 picks in the Major League Baseball draft and you choose the football, you need to be checked for
concussions. I mean, look, there are some things with Joe Gray where I go, maybe. But my maybe is like 4%. I mean, I could, if you told me you have to create a path – I could at least make it where you're probably going to laugh at me, but I go, okay.
Yeah.
With Ely, I don't even know if we have some of those elements in place.
But if you're a top 10 pick, someone's throwing.
Well, no, that's my argument. I don't think Gray's going to be a top 10 pick.
Okay, gotcha.
I think the ranking, now look, he's a hell of a player. I think the ranking is inflated from where it will be at that time for a couple reasons.
I got you.
That's more my thing. He's a Boris guy, too.
Okay.
There's some elements there where you go, hey, look, if there was some crazy things happen. I mean, Brady Aiken, you know, stuff happens. Maybe something happens.
Ely, on the other hand.
Well, it's 2019. We have so long. Yeah. But right now, from a baseline standpoint, I go,
that ship is already pushing off a port.
Just have a hunch here where this is headed. He, reading from Perfect Game, his summary is outstanding athlete, good hitting tools. He ran a 6.360 at Junior Nationals. He throws 92 miles an hour from the outfield, and the ball jumps off his barrel.
He's gone.
6.360 and 92 from the from center field.
There's no reason if you can either spend 3 years in college or 3 years going through a minor league system, if you're an elite prospect, you can either be in the majors at 22 or in high A at 22.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. For people in his year, his percentiles are 99.9, 96.1, 99.1.
Yeah, see you later.
So, yeah, 6.3360.
Yeah. In the words of
Hulk, by the way, that is blazing.
In the words of Hulk Harrelson, he gone.
Cinquez runs a 6.38.
Yeah.
For comparison.
Yeah.
A little faster than Cinquez.
Who's pretty fast.
He could run a little.
Yeah.
NFL cornerbacks typically move. So.
The podcast brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He is a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. By far the largest broker in our state. Look him up on the site, gotland.com. That's got-land.com. You can check out his recent testimonials, his track record, see the properties he has listed. But it really comes down to this. The land market is very hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call today. He's ready to meet with you. Explain the process. If he can't earn your business in that meeting, he says he doesn't deserve it. Give him a call, 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com. The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. He is a Legacy Realty, Remax Realty agent here in Oxford. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties Neighborhoods tab at the top left. Filter through by what you're looking for. Those results are updated daily, which is pretty nice to have here in the Oxford market. And then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. He'll take care of the rest.
Really good story from Sports Illustrated on Drew Pomeranz yesterday about how a cutter has helped him turn around his season. So
saw that.
If it's maybe on the board or not, I'll put it there. But check that out. It's pretty interesting, written by Michael Beller of Sports Illustrated. So
yeah,
there's that. Check that out. Round one yesterday, Ole Miss had two players in the Greenbrier. Jonathan Randolph, 367 for him. I think he's tied for 15th or 16th place going into the day. Braden Thornberry, 1 under after the front nine, really struggled on the back. I think he finished at 4 over, so he'll need a heck of a day today to make the cut. Maybe good news for Ole Miss, honestly, if you want to look at that from that standpoint. Ole Miss probably didn't need him to have another top five finish in a PGA Tour event. So Braden, tough day yesterday. See how he backs that up today and performs. Of course, I would think fits him okay, so we'll see what he does today. He should be a morning tee time this morning. You have something? You were kind of leaning into the mic.
No.
Good.
All good. Okay. Randolph's had a hell of a year.
He's having a good year. He needs a big finish like this to secure the card again. Like, you know, it's just, you can kind of hang on and you make a pretty good living, but to really make sure you keep the card and stay in that 125, you need a top 15 and a top 12 at some point to really throw a lot of money up there. So, yeah, he needs to put three more rounds together. But after day one, in pretty good shape. Phil Mickelson yesterday, his first round with his brother on the back as his caddy. And then Shane Bacon, if you're a golf fan, he did a podcast yesterday with Bones McKay, Phil's old caddy, talking about the Golf Channel, the NBC assignment, some different things, favorite wins of Phil's and whatnot. So good podcast there with Shane Bacon. He works for Fox. He talked to Bones McKay. So all that on the site at Rebel Grove, a lot of nuggets. Russell's got some stuff. I know he's doing some predictions and different things today as well. And we will talk to you again on Monday with JG Tate. Talk to you then.